to wait. I had to wait on something. Let us go into prayer. Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come once again repenting of every sin that I've committed knowingly or unknowingly. Whether it's in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds, I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to forgive me, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, to take me out of the flesh, and allow your Holy Spirit to rise up in me. For truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. Now, Father, we ask even now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you would allow the just cover this service in the blood of Jesus Christ. Cover these that's on the service on today in the blood of Jesus Christ. So allow your people to be able to receive from you that they need from you on today, Lord God. Father, let not one, Lord God, leave off this service, oh God, without getting what they need from you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for your blessings, Lord God, are rich and they add no sorrow, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for ministering to your people on today, Lord God, by your Spirit, even now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you. For teaching me, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good.
Oh, yeah.
You've really been good. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Shinelele masiti anela bosho. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You made a way. You made a way.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
When there was no way, you made
a way. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
You made a way.
Ooh,
you made a way. I just want to make you Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've really been good. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so, so good. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Somebody just lift your hands where you are. Just say the Lord to the Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been my friend when I didn't have a friend. You've been my friend. You've been my friend. You've been my friend. I just want to thank you, Lord. Shen yandala boko didi. Kushatala la kondeti yandala hare. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just want to say thank you. Ooh, glory to God. Sometimes you just got to tell the Lord thank you. You know, because he really has been good. You know, even though we go through things in life and we deal with a lot of different things, we have to stop them, just tell them thank you. Because y'all, stuff could be a whole lot worse than what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that see on a daily basis, especially when I get to get out to go take care of business. There's different things that I see, and I'm like, Lord, it's so much stuff going on. And I think about the goodness of God, you know, and you have to learn how to be grateful, because I'm gonna tell you something. We have not been so good for him to be good to us. This is God has been good to us when we was not good to our own selves. God has been good to us when we have not been faithful to him. He's been merciful and he's extended grace. And I'm going to tell you something. God is an awesome God. Who would not want to serve a God like this? So we just have to stop sometimes and just tell the Lord, thank you. You have to appreciate the Lord, you know, And what people don't understand is when you learn how to have a grateful heart before the Lord and you're obedient to him, because the Bible said, if we're willing and obedient, we eat the good of the land. Y'all, that scripture has no contingency upon what's going on the earth. It's a promise. It's a promise that if you are willing and you are obedient, you will eat the good of the earth. You know, that is a promise of the Lord. That's why, you know, we have to learn obedience unto the Lord, and we have to have a grateful heart before the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I know this don't sound right to a lot of people, but you even have to be grateful for the bad things. You know, you can't just be grateful for the good things, because the bad things teaches us things. So the stuff that we don't like that happen in our life, you know, it still teaches us stuff. It still shows us, you know, what God wants us to learn. Man, there's sometimes that I've gone through stuff that, you know, I've seen and experience. I had to say thank you to the Lord. And even though you know you're gonna have some bittersweet things sometimes in life, but you have to learn how to be grateful to God. You all, even in the bad things, you know, it teaches us what he really wants from our life. And if you allow the Spirit of God to reveal to you what he wants to reveal to you, you will find yourself in a place with God that you've never been before. I've learned, and you know what Paul said, he said learned, you know wherever, pretty much whatever state he's in, to be content. We have to learn how to be content right where we are. That doesn't mean that we're not striving for the perfection in God, or not for the mastery. That means that we are just saying, God, you know, I know I'm right here right now. You know, this is not where I want to continue to be, but I thank you for today.
Yes,
God. I still thank you for where I am. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, God is a good God, and I just want to bless his holy name. I don't want to prolong the hour. I want to get into the scriptures. God had given me Psalm 46. I'm going to read the whole Psalm, but then I'm going to go to my focus verse. So let me minimize the screen, because I need to read it from here instead of my Bible, because the light is not as bright as I want it to be. Give me 1 second. Okay. So we're in Psalm 46. It says, to the chief musician for the songs of Korah, a song upon Elamah. God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be. Give me 1 second. People are entering in. Okay. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So anytime you see Selah in the scripture, that means pause, think about it, reflect. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he have made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, I want you to know that, you know, because I know a lot of people don't understand this, because I know, you know, a lot of folks haven't been taught this, and then I know everybody don't operate in it either. So that's probably another reason why, you know, everybody might not have been taught in the churches and stuff you come out of. I'm getting ready to read this in the basic English, this whole psalm right here, Psalm 46. And before I do, but I want you to understand, this is a prophetic word. Pretty much most of the sermons I preach are prophetic, because I'm an apostle, and you know, I truly ask God for a right now word for the people. Yeah. I don't, you know, I'm, because what people don't understand, and this is where I be tripping out on the stupidity of a lot of things in the churches, you know, people don't understand. Preaching is the proclaiming of God's word. Is, you know, you're proclaiming God's word, and when you prophesy, you are proclaiming what's to come. You know, what's taking place. So, you know, preaching and prophecy go hand in hand, and what people don't understand is when you're seeking the face of God for a right now word for the people, a word that's for the people, that means there's something that he is speaking into their life. It's either something that they're dealing with right now that he's trying to bring them out of. So even in this word, you're going to find a word of knowledge. You're going to find a word of wisdom. You're going to find directions in it. You know, so, you know, God is, you know, he's speaking to his people. There is a lot of stuff going on. And so God is trying to give a word to his people. Okay, so now I'm going to do it in the basic English. God is our harbor and our strength, a very present help in trouble. For this cause, we will have no fear, even though the earth is changed, and though the mountains are moved in the heart of the sea, though its waters are sounding and troubled, and though the mountains are shaken with their violent motion. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the resting place of God, the holy place of the tents of the Most High. God has taken his place in her. She will not be moved. He will come to her help at the dawn of morning. The nations were angry. The kingdoms were moved. At the sound of his voice, the earth became like wax. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our high tower. Selah. Come, see the works of the Lord, the destruction which he has made in the earth. He puts an end to wars over all the earth. By him, the bow is broken, and the spear cut in two, and the carriage burned in the fire. Be at peace in the knowledge that I am God. I will be lifted up among the nations. I will be honored through all the earth. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our high tower. Selah. So I'm gonna do it one more time before I really get in, break it down. I'm gonna do it one more time in the King James. Now remember, this is Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. That means think about it. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. That means think about it. Pause again. Reflect. Think about it. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he have made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunday. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Rashibako rahani karaboshitiki. What God wanted me to talk about is actually in verse 10. And if you look at verse 10, he starts out and it says, be still and know that I am. This is God talking, be still and know that I am God. And that's what he said to me. See, when I was seeking the face of God on what to preach, I did not know what he wanted me to preach until right before we went on. And God, you know, God was like, he said, this is what I want you to talk to people about. Because I was like, Lord, you still ain't gave me nothing for the people on today. And he was like, this is what I want you to talk about today. He said, I want you to talk about be still and know that I am God. So what is the purpose of him telling us this? Y'all, we living in a time where there is a lot of uncertainties.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on. You're hearing a whole lot of talking of wars, people threatening the United States, different things going on. All these companies are laying off people. They're taking on positions. Y'all, even the poor people jobs, the little minimum wage jobs and the jobs that don't cost that much, they're getting ready to take away with robots. Okay. So you're living in a time. Because if you go, where they talking about that, isn't it McDonald's in Fort Worth?
Yeah.
Where they have McDonald's in Fort Worth where it's nothing but robots that take the order, do everything. So you're living in a time where the jobs that you never thought was going to leave is being taken by even robots. You know, the other ones, they source out to other countries. You understand what I'm saying? We got a whole lot of stuff going on. So if you're a person that's not seeking the face of God, because this is a time that you should be seeking the face of God, because God might be telling you to go and take up a trade somewhere. He might tell you to go and get some classes and certain things to certify yourself in certain things because of the switching and the things. You got to hear by the Spirit what the Spirit of God has to say. Oh, God might be telling you, hey, connect here, do this, do that. But let me tell you, one of the surest places, we was listening to something the other day. And this man was talking about the investments of the money and all the different kind of stuff. And but he was like, and you should have this, and you know, your this plan B and all that. And God was like, no, your plan should always be me.
That's right.
And that's why he said, be still and know that I'm God. First of all, you got to be obedient to God. Make sure you are paying your tithes and your offerings, because the Bible says that he will rebuke the vile for your sake. You know, and there's times people who pay tithes have experiences, but you need to understand, even in your experiences, God gonna move and he's gonna give you a great reward, because when you are obedient, especially at the time of testing, he's like, I'm gonna reward you. Someone had a situation not too long ago where they had some things that happened with their finances, and they are tithe payer. And they had to end up paying their tithes. They had to end up dropping it off because they couldn't do it through their normal way. And when they dropped it off, y'all, they had their pastor seed up in there, and they had their PA, you know, for this year. So that, you know, because they were paying on their stuff. And you know, God, before they had dropped it off, God had already told me, you know, before I had seen what they had given, God had already told me, he was like, I'm going to move on the situation. And he's like, I'm going to reward them. He said that they got a big blessing coming. But when the person left me and I looked at what they had done, the Lord said, this is the reason why I said what I said to you. He said, do you realize that they are in a situation, but even in their situation, they still paid their pastor seat and they still put money on their PA. He said, they were still consistent. Well, what it's supposed to do. He said, you know, the church don't understand about consistency. See, you got to be still, and you got to know. You got to know what. Man, yeah, the enemy is going to attack. It's nothing strange. That's why Paul told Timothy, he said, war for the prophecies that have gone on before you. You got to war for some things. God said, yeah, I spoke it. He said, yeah, it shall come to pass. He said, but you got to war for those prophecies that have gone on before. He said, you got to be still in me. And no, what are we knowing? We knowing that God is not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of the man that he shall repent. But if he spoke it, he shall do it. If he said it, he shall perform. So When we're still in God and we know, he said, be still and know that I am God. I want to get some scriptures. You know, I want to get some scriptures in these things. God said, man, my people don't know me. He said, because when you know the Lord, you trust him.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you know, God, I don't understand what's going on. Stuff look opposite of what you said. But you know what? Hey, I know that you are not a liar. Yeah. I know you're not the son of man that you should repent. I know if you spoke, you're going to do it. If you said it, you're going to perform it. I'm going to just trust in your word. Let me tell you something. Satan knows those who really trust the Lord. He knows those that's like, okay, yeah, this is going on. I was talking to a relative the other day, and they was telling me about an incident that happened in one of our other relatives' lives. And they was telling me about how it made them start feeling a certain kind of way. And I had gone through something similar to that relative. And I was telling them, I said, well, it didn't make me feel, I never felt differently about God. And I think it's because God is always, when you know the Bible saying all you're getting to get an understanding, I've always seek God for understanding.
Yeah.
Because you got to learn how to not look at stuff from your earthly perspective. You got to learn how to go before the Father and ask him to give you his perspective on the thing.
Yeah.
Because I understand that my perspective is screwed up. And I understand that he knows all things. You know, what might look terrible to me right now, I might not understand that down the road he'll reveal to me this is why this had to happen in order for this to have happened. We don't know. We're not God. Right. And so, you know, then people get angry at God and we're not honest. Also, see, and I've always been a person that's been real honest before the Lord. There's been things that have happened in my life that was at my own hands. Yeah. And you know, I've had to be honest with the Lord. I'm like, you know what, God, I can't get upset with you, and I can't get upset with nobody else. That was me, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm the one to put myself in that situation. Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you something. When you get to a place where you start recognizing and you getting an understanding, I mean, you get farther down the road with God. Because God is, God is not a difficult God, and he's not a hard God. And let me tell you something. God appreciate honesty. God appreciate when you are honest about what you are.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, he said, be still. Okay, I'm trying to get into these scriptures, but it's a whole lot of God things that God is pulling into my spirit. I want to get into these scriptures. Wait a minute. I did some. Yeah, hold on. Because I got a physical Bible in front of me, and I'm also doing the computer at the same time. So, you know, y'all got to, and I got another book I'm getting ready to look into in just a second. And so I just, you know, you kind of bear with me because I don't know what's going on with the light today. For some reason, it seems darker than what it normally is. Okay, so we're talking about the stillness, right? Before we get into the stillness, I want to talk about that no. Because he said, be still and know that I am God. Okay, hold on. She's trying to give me some light. Okay, so just shaking it up. But man, it's somebody you are pulling. I don't know what's going on in your life, but God is saying that he knows what's going on. He said, just pay attention to the word. He said, and I'm going to put this word on air afterwards. I know I haven't been putting all the words on air because God, I listen to God. God tells me what to put on air and what not to. And so, he said, that no means to understand, discern. Y'all, I'm going to even break down discern to you in just a minute, because that's something I've come to understand in the body of Christ, that a lot of people really don't have an understanding of what discern is. We're going to break that down in a minute, but I want to put a pin there so I won't forget it. Hold on, because he's putting it in my spirit. See, the Lord is downloading as I'm talking, so I have to give what he's giving to me while he's giving it to me. Thank you very much. Okay. That don't stand up. That's the way it's supposed to stand up.
You want to turn
up? Yeah, so that light can be higher. Hold on 1 second, y'all. I'm trying to get this stuff situated. No, I'm not talking about up there. I'm talking about right here.
No, I'm just going to put it standing on top of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, give me 1 second. I know But when you doing stuff and the enemy don't want folks to get what God wants them to get. Okay, so he said to understand, discern. You know, and that means knowledge, to know, to know. We're gonna acknowledge. When you know that God is, he said, you know me, that means you're gonna acknowledge him. You understand what I'm saying? Remember the scripture said, he told us to acknowledge him in all our ways and he shall direct our path. So when we are still, we acknowledge God, we come to a place of where we acknowledge him so that we can understand, so we can better discern what is going on. Okay, let me just break that down a little bit farther. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to flip these pages because I want to give you. That discern, when you're talking about the understand and to discern, it means separate mentally or distinguish. So that means you're separating this out mentally or distinguish to understand. Understanding, consider, prudent, precise, perceive. So God is wanting you to perceive. When you say you know God, you gotta you're perceiving him at that point or whatever it is you're dealing with. You're perceiving. Okay, I'm trying to perceive what you're saying, God. I'm trying to perceive what you're hearing. You know, perceive what you're doing at this point. He said regard. So that means you're regarding him in this situation. Discern, instruct. It basically means to understand, to be able. Deal wisely. And this is the problem in the church. We do not deal wisely. We try to use the world's wisdom. You can't use the world wisdom. The Bible says that the wisdom of this world is central.
Yeah.
So you need God's wisdom. Deal wisely. Consider. Pay attention to. That's another thing. We don't pay attention. And see, I know over the years, a lot of times God is always there with me. He always tell me, when he tell me how he's saying right here in the scripture, be still. You know, he say, sit down now. He said, pay attention to this. He'll tell me in a minute, pay attention to this, watch this. Okay. Yeah, I done lost my spot. Hold on. Pay attention to, regard, notice, discern, perceive, inquire. You must inquire. It appears in Jeremiah chapter 9 and 12 with the meaning to understand. Who is the wise man that may understand this? So, you got to ask God to give you the ability to understand, give you the wisdom. Who is the wise man that may understand this? In Job 6:30, the word means to discern. And so, you know, we see in different verses what it means. But, you know, God is basically telling us, he's like, you know, I want you to be able to distinguish between this stuff. I want you to be able to know what I am saying. I'm going to give you a little bit more. Hold on. Now I've done it again. I've missed my page. Hold on. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. To know, to ascertain by seeing. So we, you know, God wants us to be able to see it. Because I'm saying he wants us to see it from our perspective. It infers observation, care, recognition, and cause. Instruction, designation, you know, even punishment. It says know, known, knowledge, perceive, show, tell, understand, acknowledge, acquaintance. Okay, so consider, declare, teach, advise, answer, appoint. Assuredly, God wants us to be assured. When we say we know God, that means you must be assuredly of him, be assured, be aware. you need to be able to comprehend. It says comprehend. Be diligent. Can cause to discern, discover, endued with familiar, endued with. That means he's a familiar friend to you. When you know God, that means he's a familiar friend. You know, you feel out, you feel famous, can have instruct. He's like a kinsfolk. So you gotta understand when you talking about know. Remember, Jesus told us, you remember the scripture, it says Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, right? So he is a kinfolk. Kinsman, to be learned, marked, privy to, regard, have respect, of skill, be sure, assurity. Have understanding with wit or not. So you got to understand when you observing and reflecting and thinking to know by experiencing, the first thing you got to realize that you got to have, when you're talking about all this knowing and then when he said be still and know, that means there's an intimacy there. You're not just a someone that knows God through someone else or reflect. I remember when I was growing up, I used to always tell the Lord, I want to know you for myself.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to know you through my mother. I don't want to know you through somebody else. I want to have my own relationship with him. I used to tell God this when I was growing up. And I was serious about this thing because I didn't want my salvation to be dependent upon somebody else's relationship with God.
Yes, Lord.
I wanted my salvation to rest assured and what he and I have. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something. He's a good, good father. And I mean, God is so understanding, man. I'm going to tell you, he's very understanding. He just don't. God do not like for us to lie. See, first of all, we lie to ourselves. And then we lie to others. And he ain't like, be honest with you. There's times God and I've sat down and had conversations about things that I did that was wrong. And he's like, okay, let's talk about for real why you did it.
But yeah, yeah.
He was like, let's get to the root of it. And you know, and so you know, when and what I've understood in the church, people don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know why folks got this thing about that you gotta think you gotta look a certain kind of way. And I'm like, what way is that? Because the thing about it is God himself, and he's the one that when we come to his presence, that he smears himself upon us. He's the one that sanctifies us. He's the one making holy. You can't make yourself holy. And the thing is, if you somebody that can't look in your heart and see the stuff that's in your heart, you're not any better than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so God is like, he's like, you gotta say, so why is he saying be still? I'm trying to get back to the good news of this word. I don't know why he took me there. Okay, so he said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Why is God saying that? He's like, because you got so much stuff going on in your life. And the enemy is trying to get you frustrated. He's trying to get you all upset. Now, I'm not going to lie. If you're not doing what God told you to do, you have a reason to be scared. But if you are somebody that is doing what God told you to do, God is like, calm down. Chill out.
Yeah, yeah.
I got this.
Oh,
he like, trust me. He's like, I don't care what fall apart. Yeah. I got you.
Hallelujah.
Y'all, do you realize they imprisoned one of his prophets for telling the truth? And they did all kinds of stuff. Then when everything fell down, the enemy came and got him out so he'll be free. Yeah. And so, you know, when they Jeremiah? Jeremiah. And so, you know, you got to understand, God is like, y'all, you get so caught up in this world way of doing stuff and what the world says in your mind. That's why the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to understand, you're talking about God. Y'all, we're not talking about my mother, my father, this, you know, somebody on earth. We're talking about God. God who created all this in the first place. God who can do whatever he want to do, when he want to do it, how he want to do it. There is no limit to what he wants to do. Because when you look at this, like when we go back to the basic images that he puts the end towards over all the earth by him, the boat is broken and the spirit cut in two and the carriage burned in the fire. Let me tell you something. People can say whatever they want to say. If God wants there to be a war, it's going to be one. If he don't want to be one, he would destroy their weapons right in their face. Y'all see, you when you can't look in the spirit realm, y'all, it's on big angels that I have seen. You know, I've seen all kinds of angels in my lifetime. I've seen different kinds look different kind of ways and everything. But it's some big angels that God have posted around the United States. You can't even see their face. They so big. And all you can see is their feet. And their feet cover so much of the United States. But this is the thing that gets me about God. And he's like, okay, who do you trust in? Who do you put your hope in? Is your hope in your paycheck? Is your hope in the strength of your own arm? He like, you need to trust in the name of the Lord thy God. And you need to stand. He like, chill out. Be still. Know that I am God. Man, if I got to make it materialize, I will make it materialize.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I've had so many different experiences in my life too. It has not even been funny. And like I told you, a lot of times people think that they get caught up on the negative stuff and they get downhearted. Man, I've had witchcraft sent to me where people have done witchcraft and changed stuff on paperwork that was in my own hands. Now, the funny part was that when they did the witchcraft, it didn't change all the wording on all the pieces of paper. I still had two pieces of paper that had the original wording on there to prove the point that it was still a lie. So listen to me very carefully. If a witch or a warlock could do that, how much more can the Spirit of God do?
That's right.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? And so you got to understand, I'm not like everybody else. I don't think like everybody else. Because I've had too many experiences that I know that the God I serve, that he's God. Now, even with all the evil and stuff they did, it still worked out for my good.
Yeah.
You know, the word said all things work out for your good. For them, they'll call according to his purpose. Okay, so let me get. I promised you that I was going to get into discernment before I got off into those scriptures. Yeah, I'm almost through, actually. Now, notice when he's talking about the discern, that discern also means to understand. It means to know. To a knowledge. So it all talks about knowledge too. And that discern also means to hear intelligently. Because you can hear, but not hear if you are not hearing intelligently. Somebody's stuff is need to be muted. So you can also hear and not hear intelligently if your ear is not tuned to God. And so, you know, God wants us to be able to hear by the Spirit. And so we must have our ear attuned to God. And so he said, you know, for us to hear in intelligence. That's why he said, you know, in the scriptures, he talked about how there would be dullness of hearing and how there would be dullness of people's sight in the Spirit. This is very important because God is trying to show it from us. He's trying to reveal a truth to us. Okay, so let me give you these last verses I need to give before I go. So he's telling us to be still and to know that he's God, right? So let's talk about that stillness and what that stillness look like. Okay, so in Numbers chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. He was telling them, okay, chill out. I need to be able to hear what God is saying. Yeah. And one thing about the enemy, he will always make you think you have to make a rush. And that's where a lot of people get in trouble at. And when you're looking at stuff from your own perspective, you are always going to make a mistake. That's just word. Okay, so in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. You will never know the word of God if you don't learn how to get somewhere and be still.
Yeah.
You need to be able to be still in the presence of God. That's why I tell people sometimes be seated. Shut up. You know, you need to be seated. If you're somebody that always got to say something, blah, 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 you're going to miss what God is saying. And so, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7 says, now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. Why do we have to do that? I'm doing it with you right now. I got it. You're standing still for this moment in time. We've been on here 45 minutes now. You've been standing still for 45 minutes to hear for me to reason with you about God and about the wonders of God and how, you know, how God works, how he do different things. Because I'm going to share some things with you in just a second. And so he said, why? Because people need to be reminded. You know, I don't know what it is, but I was talking to God about this the other day. I said, Lord, why is it so easy for us to forget the things that you've done when we're in the midst of other things? And so, Job chapter 37, verse 14 says, hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. You got to do it. If you're not a person that sits down and continuously remind yourself of the things that God has done in your life, you're going to become rigid. You're going to forget. And it'll cause you to miss God and backslide too. And so, Psalm 4, verse 4. And it's my last verse. It says, stand in awe and sin not. See, that's what I was talking about a while ago. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Say lie. That's say lie. That means, you know, pause, reflect about it. When you are in awe and you're reflecting on God, like I said, you're reflecting on things that God has done. And maybe you might not have a testimony yet that God has done, but maybe you need to reflect on somebody else's testimony. Because that's why the Bible says we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And there's some things that God has done. You know, God protects his people. God provides for his people. And you can't get caught up. If you're one of those people that's running to hear what every prophet is saying, you can also screw yourself up like that too. Right before I went on air, before God had given me this word, I didn't understand why he was flashing this testimony before me. But he brought it back to me while I was preaching. He said, this is why I flashed, because he would let me know. He had already let me know he wanted me to say it on air, but I didn't know what it was in relations to. Now I do. And so he was telling me, he was reminding me of years ago. There was this gentleman that I knew, and he was, you know, he was a businessman and stuff. And so he was trying to get involved in another business, and he came to me with it, wanted me to get involved. And I was like, and the Lord told me clear as day, he was like, no. He's like, and y'all might have heard of this business. I don't know if y'all remember years ago, they had this thing that came out about these gas pills that you put in the tank, and it's supposed to make your gas last longer. So he was getting involved. He had gotten involved, and he wanted me to get involved. He would tell me, put my hands on, basically, because he was like, I know if you put your hands on, God will bless you. I said, and the Lord told me, he said, don't you touch that stuff. He was like, I am not involved in that. So then, when the guy couldn't get me that way, because, you know, he knew I had a small ministry, he started talking to me all these big name prophets and ministers that's involved in the business, and was talking about how they were saying this and then how they got around. And I said, I don't care nothing about them being involved. I said, it doesn't matter to me that they said this was this. And I said, I'm hearing what God said to me. God told me not to mess with that stuff. That stuff was a scam. He told me straight up. He said, it's a scam. He told me what I was going to go. It was going to go to some stuff and go down with it and everything. You know, I didn't know what I was talking about because I had some little small church. You know, it doesn't matter about it. It matters if you hear from God and what God is saying. So needless to say, not too long after I told this man, and I only think it had been a couple of weeks, the business, they got in trouble. It was all over the news. And so my sister called me, because now this guy had been around me a majority of that day when all the when the stuff broke, you know, right before the stuff broke, he wasn't around me right before the stuff. It was like right when the stuff broke, he wasn't around me, but he was around me after the stuff had broke. Didn't say nothing to me. My sister called me on the phone. She was like, "Say, man, did you hear about that stuff that happened?" She said, "You know that stuff you told him that wasn't right." That stuff. She said, "Man, it's all over the news." And you talking about how all the people got in trouble and stuff. Seen all the big name ministers that was involved in all that stuff. All that stuff was a scam. They folks been prophets. All them folks been prophets. I'm like, man, if you a prophet, then you should have heard from God the way I heard from the Lord. When the Lord told me, You know what I'm saying? And so what I'm saying that to say is this, and this is why God had me testifying about this. He's like, because you got to know God for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And even though it was a bunch of big name prophets, and I can call out so many names of these ministers with the mega ministries that was connected to this stuff. It's still people, folks still be lifting up to this day. I'm like, man, y'all crazy. I'm telling you, it don't take much for me. I'm like, this right here. I'm like, God, I'm going to hear what you saying, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And so, you know, all the stuff went down, all that stuff, both of people was on the news. They had shut down that office, was trying to get out of Dodge. They got in trouble with all that stuff. And the Lord was like, when he was dealing with me earlier, he brought the testimony back to me. He said, Tamara, he was like, I'm still the same God.
Yeah.
He was like, and so people don't stand still to hear what God was saying. And, you know, those folks, them, I ain't gonna lie, them ministers made a lot of money in that stuff, but it was a scam, and they all got, this stuff got, they got in trouble behind all that stuff. And God was like, so if my motive was money, do you understand what I'm saying? I'd have been right in the midst of it. You know, although I needed money because I'm full-time in the ministry and I don't get paid no salary. And at that time, I had less people in the congregation than I got now. You know, but my heart was for what God was saying.
Oh, yes.
And that's why he said, be still. Let me tell you. God will tell you the matters of your heart.
Yes, he will.
God will tell you what's going on. He will give you instruction. There are so many times I can sit back and think about how he's giving me instruction, just like I read the prophets, and just like he gave them instructions when they sought his face. God will give you instruction. Yeah. The only person that's in the way is you. The devil can't stop you from seeking the face of God. He can't stop you from being still to hear what the Lord has to say unto you. It's your choice.
Hallelujah.
And so, you know, God said, be still. He said, I know all this stuff is going on. All this economic stuff is going on. He said, some people are scared because there is a lot of layoffs coming. They done already started. They're going to do more. I mean, yeah, every day you almost, there's something else. Company making announcements how they cutting. You know, if you, we looking at Walmart, the changes and stuff that Walmart is making and the things they getting ready to do, man, it's going to be a lot of stuff snatched out from under people. And so you need to make sure that you're in the place that God needs for you to be. You need to make sure that you're doing what God is telling you to do. Because if not, you're going to be stuck out. But God said, if you are a tithe payer and you are a faithful tithe payer and you are being obedient unto him, he said, trust me. He said, I'm gonna make good on my word. He said, I don't care what happens. You know, a lot of people keep talking about this famine and stuff that's the supposed to be coming. God said, that means absolutely nothing to the ones who are serving me.
That's right.
Do you not know this is God? If God needs the food to materialize in your house, he will do just that. He will supernaturally prepare for you. Just like he sent food to Elijah. He was bringing food to you. Just like Jesus blessed the two loaves, the five loaves of bread and the two fish. And he fed 5,000 men and women and children beside. He's like, I'm the same God. He's like, who do you think I am? See, that's the problem, is that if you don't really know him, then you don't know him. And so a lot of people look at the Bible like, oh, that's a good fable story or whatever like that. No, this is real stuff. This is real when God really can make some things manifest in your life, when your heart is turned to him, when you are purifying your heart before the Lord. And God knows the situation. He knows what you're going through. God is not that kind of God that he's going to leave you hanging. And so God was like, tell the people to stand still and know that I am God. He said, because I shall be exalted among the heathen. So you got heathen out around you that he want to be exalted. He want to do something in your life to let them know, no, yeah, God is real. You be sitting in the midst of the oasis in the desert and they sweating out there and you chilling, drinking water. I'm just telling you the God I serve.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You need to know him. And he said, I'm with you. He said, just be still in my presence and hear what I'm saying. Be obedient to what I'm telling you. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not being obedient unto God, you need to be afraid. I'm not going to lie to you, because there's some things that's going to go down. This stuff already started, but there's going to be some other stuff that's going to take place. Father, we just thank you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord, I come once again repenting of every sin that I've committed knowingly or unknowingly, was in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I ask you to forgive me, create in me a clean heart, and renew me a right spirit. Father, bless your people. Help them to be still in your presence and hear what you're saying. And Father, bless them in every area of their life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Prophet Junior, do you have a word that God wants you to give to the people as the word was going forth? And if not, you know, you can just give announcements. And then I'm going to come back and pray for tithes and offering when she get through.
I need to know if you all can hear me, because every week when I do announcements, I always, once I look at my phone, people be texting me saying, we didn't hear what you said. It blocked out. It went off. So can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. You know, as Pastor was going forth, the Lord had said something to me, and I know I was talking to a young lady last week about this. You know, when she, you know, she was talking about, you know, doing what the Lord telling you to do, you know, being obedient. And I wanted to bring this out. I was supposed to be saying something about it on last week, and I had forgotten about it. And when she was going forth, the Holy Spirit was talking to me about it. And he was telling me, you know, there's a trend that I've noticed that a lot of y'all are only paying your offering when you pay your tithes, which you're supposed to pay your offering with your tithes. But we come on here every week, and I'm talking to the members, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, even visitors on the line know that if you come into a ministry and, you know, you sitting in there, they pass around the offering plate, you got money, you know, you put an offering in. But I've noticed a trend where people don't do weekly offerings. They don't do offerings. And the Lord has started dealing with me about that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I really just actually noticed it right off. But then the Holy Spirit started talking to me about it. And, you know, y'all need to consider that. Why are you not doing it? Because there's something behind that. She was preaching a few minutes ago, and she was saying about how you come to God, you know, and you being honest. And then, you know, the Lord's like, okay, yeah, you know, yeah, you're right. I thank you for your honesty. But why do you thank you? Why did you do that? And, you know, God will begin to deal with you about why you're doing that. I know for some of you all, God tells me why you do it. But you all need to be mindful, because like she said, there are things that are getting ready to happen. You need to be obedient upon everything God is telling you to do. Okay, so as you all know, if you pay your tithes and your offerings, you go to www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. That's www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. Click on the send a donation button, and that's where you do your tithes and your offerings. Y'all go ahead. If you have not done your tithes and your offerings, go ahead and do it right now, because Pastor's getting ready to pray over the tithes and offerings. This is Seed Sunday, so go ahead and send in your seed. You know the avenue to be able to do that. If you're a visitor on the line, and as I stated earlier, if you were in the building and we passed around the offering plate and you were giving offering, go to www.wearemorethanconquerors.com, click on the send donation button, and you can do your offering. If you would like to give Pastor a love offering, you can text her at 214-507-3626. Again, that's 214-507-3626. and you can she'll give you the information to be able to send her a love offering. Again, this is a new year. Pastor Appreciation will be amongst us very soon because time is going by fast. And I noticed that a lot of people still have not began on that. If you need me to go into prayer with you, I will. I've already been praying for y'all, but you know, if it's something specific, you know, you can contact me and we can go into prayer. And God, if you need a new plan of action, God gave us a plan of action on last year. If you've forgotten that, you can contact me and I can advise you on that. Thank you.
Okay, before I go into prayer, also, you know, if you got a prayer request, you can text your prayer request in to 214-507-3626. Again, that is 214-507-3626, and we will be praying for you on what the request is. Okay, so I'm getting ready to pray for the tithes and the offerings. Give me 1 second. Father God, we just come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come once again this day repenting of every sin that I committed knowingly and unknowingly, what's in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you, Father, to forgive me, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. Now, Father, as I lift up your people's tithes and offerings before you, Father, for you know it's the first fruit of their increase. And I able shukurabahati get. The Spirit of God, when I started praying that, he said, some of you are, why you don't pay your tithes is because you are in fear. Your tithes and offerings because you're in fear. And the scriptures tell us that perfect love casts out all fear. So that when I preach today about knowing God and knowledge of God, when you have perfect love in your heart, there is no fear because you know him. You know what he's capable of doing and how he's capable of doing it. Father, we just thank you right now. He said, fear is not going to wash. And so, you can't come to him except you come to him by faith.
Yeah.
And so, Lord, we just thank you. That's scripture. Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We just praise you, Lord God, for your people. As I lift up their tithes and their offering unto you, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, you will rebuke the devourer for their sake. That, Father, you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing they would not have room to receive. Lord, that you would cause it to be pressed down, shaken together, running over, that men would get back in their bosom. Now, Father, you said that if we brought our tithes and our offering to the storehouse, that there would be meat in your house. You told us to prove you. So, Father, we come in the name of Jesus on this afternoon, proving you at your word, Lord. There's people that need financial breakthroughs, Lord God. They got a lot of different things going on in their life, Lord God. And so even in their bodies, Lord God. And so we ask even now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, as they pay their tithes and offering, Lord, we asking that you would rebuke the prophet. I said that you open doors for them that they never imagined. Those who are giving offerings, oh God, we ask that you will bless their offerings, oh God, and that you cause there to be an increase because they've seeded into this ground, Lord. And so, Lord God, I can't speak, Lord God, for no other ground, but I know that this ground is by faith, Lord. And so, Lord God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, that you said, according to my faith, Lord, be it done unto me. So my faith, oh God, is linking up with their faith. And Lord, I'm asking that you will cause there to be a breakthrough and a blessing in their life because they've seeded into this ministry. And so then, Lord God, I praise you for those who have given into my life, Lord. For you said, whoever given the name of a prophet should receive a prophet's reward. So, Lord God, I pray right now, Lord God, that God is speaking to me. He said, he told me to break this down. When I was saying I can't speak for any other ground because this ground is faith, I walk totally by faith. Everything I do is by faith. And so you got to understand something. The scripture says that the just shall live by faith. I live by faith. This ministry is by faith. Everything that I do is by faith. You heard me say earlier, I'm not on no salary. So everything I do is in faith. And so because of that, when seeds are planted into this ministry, God moves supernaturally upon them because I'm walking in the supernatural. And see, God had to explain it to me because, man, I've been in different places. I've seen a lot of different things, and I've seen it. And I remember a season in my life where I was seeding into this particular ministry, and I every time I would send a seed before I could even get it off to them in the mail, because I was sending it to them in the mail, before I could even get it all the way out to them in the mail, supernatural money would come to me. And I was asking God, I was like, God, what is the difference between them and these other places that I've been sending my seeds to? Because, you know, I was a pastor, so I was sending it out. That's the reason why I was sending it out. And so he was like, he said, because they're operating in faith. See, there's a difference when you operating in faith, when you being obedient to God. You got to be obedient to God too. Being obedient to God and you operating in faith. Well, everybody don't operate in faith. You know, when I look at across the board, and I'm not trying to be funny, I've been in ministries for a long time, so I've seen a lot of different things. A lot of places, the pastors are on salary, or some of them even have little side, have like little part-time jobs, or had a job where they retire from, they getting a check coming in, or they've been in the service, they've been somewhere where they got money coming, or they married to somebody that's got a job. That's got a check, and plus whatever check they're getting. So there is not a movement of faith. Yeah, y'all don't understand. Y'all got to understand something. When you are daily walking and you got different things that's coming up before you, I've had a whole bunch of stuff come at me just on this year alone, on financial stuff. And I've had to walk it out day by day. Let me tell you something. So you got, when the Bible says, according unto your faith be it done for you, my faith is in a different zone. So when I pray, it moves. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about according to your measure of rule. Your measure of rule in the spirit realm,
that's right,
is based upon your measure of faith.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And so, you know, people don't understand that. People be thinking that there's somebody that's going to be funny. And no, I'm like, when somebody is living faith, they're walking by faith, then when they speak, then that word is power on their word.
That's right. That's
because right. because it's backed up by what they actually doing.
Hallelujah.
I'm not doing anything differently than what I'm telling you to do. And that's trust God. Be obedient to God. Whatever he tells you to do, do.
That's right.
I was talking to Prophet Junior just on yesterday, was I not?
Yeah.
And I don't know why God brought this up to me yesterday, because I see now he wanted me to say something today. I was telling her when I was getting ready, when God called me to walk full-time in ministry, y'all, I had so many issues because, see, I'm a budgeter. And I believe in budgeting. Now, you know, I have a whole lot of issues with people when they be having a lot of debt on them and they got a job. You know, I'm like, well, you're not budgeting your money. You doing something that you ain't a business doing. You know, because when I was working for somebody else, I always had a budget. Y'all, I budgeted everything. I budgeted my hair. I remember there was one time I was working, and I would go to the beauty shop every week. I budgeted my hair out every week for the beauty shop. I used to pay for myself, my mother, and my sister. There was a couple of times I didn't have to pay for them. My mom was like, well, I pay for it this time. But I budgeted my money out. I budgeted my money out. I paid my bills. I budgeted my money out for my bills. I budgeted my money out for our hair. I budgeted my money out for my entertainment. I budgeted my money out for my shopping. And I was like, I didn't go over my budget. What was set in the budget, that's what I did. And so, you know, I was like that, and I know I got that from my daddy. I'm like, because you know, he used to deal with me about a lot of different stuff, and my sister was like that. And so Lord mercy, if you gave her some money to hold, you wasn't gonna get that money back.
Sure,
I was like, if you gave it a hold for something particular, trust me, you would have to fight for your own money back.
Sure.
And so I had came by honest, but the thing was, when I got ready to go into full-time, when God called me into full-time ministry, y'all, that was scary. I had never walked in the arena, and different people that I had seen in my life who was in full-time ministry, I seen them lose a lot of stuff. And I was talking to God about that. Remember, I told you about the honesty. So this is where this is coming in at. I was real honest with God. I was like, God, I got bills. I said, and I can't put the bills off on my mama. I was like, so where I'm going to get the money from? And at that time, I was paying 2 car notes and full insurance on both of them. And I, you know, I had some other stuff. And he was like, he told me, Tim, let me tell you something. These people that you're looking at, he said, some of them, I didn't even call into full-time ministry. He said, so that's why you seen them lose stuff. He said, and others, I called them into full-time ministry, but they, it's not in the season that they're walking. It wasn't the time for them to go into it yet. They went into it prematurely. And he told me, he said, but I'm telling you that not only did I call you into full-time ministry, but it's your season to walk in. Now, let me explain something to you. I'm going to explain something real clear to you. You know, the building we have, I look at that building all the time, and I be like, man, God, you an awesome God. Yes, y'all, I had 5 adults in my ministry. 5 adults. One was a retired school teacher. That was my mother. My sister was teaching the first couple of years of me being a pastor. She was teaching a couple of years. One of those adult members was a cashier work at a grocery store. Another one worked inside of a gym that they weren't getting paid that much money on. And the other one was an engineer. Y'all, with just those 5 adults and the couple of children we had, and 2 of the children was my niece and my nephew, and the cashier had 2 children. I bought that property where our building is sitting on, that our church is sitting on, with no proof. At that time, they do stuff differently now. Back then, they wasn't doing what they do now. That I didn't have no job. I didn't have nothing like this. And they did creative financing with me. I'm talking about it was real creative. And God got me that property. Man, let me tell you something. Every time I told that testimony, people had issues. Y'all, there was times that we almost went into foreclosure more than once because, I told you I didn't have that many people attacks were happening, different things were taking place. Every time, God would always step in. Yes, he would always move in. And the engineer one time got mad. So, they was the highest taxpayer in the church and they felt like the church was going to fold. And God told me, he said, one monkey don't stop no show. And so, they was gone and everything, y'all. They had to end up coming back to church because when they left the church, their finances went to kapow. Yeah, you don't understand what I'm saying. They was an engineer and their finances went to pot. They had to come back to me in order to be reestablished. You don't hear me, though. And God was like, you were calling yourself trying to be ugly. I'm like, your money don't run this church. I walk by faith. And when they was gone, God supernaturally provided. Let me tell you something, but they was the one that had to be restored. Let me tell you something. You cannot be obedient to God. Because I was like, God, I laid things down on the altar. I was real honest with God on a lot of different things. And God was like, man, I'm not one of these people. See, that's another thing that I've learned in the gospel. People be trying to live extravagant lives out for the church. I'm like, that's not what God called us into. There's different things that God wants to do with finance. And let me tell you something. Those who are going to be financially blessed in this ministry, you're going to be those who have a heart towards this ministry.
That's right.
And God said the proof in the pudding is what's in your hands. And he was like, he told me, I'm going to tell you, I've seen it too many times in my life. I've been in this thing. I've been a pastor come this year 20 years. Y'all, I'm not brand new to this thing. I've watched God do some awesome things. I watched God. I remember I had a classmate one time, I guess, passed by the property and was laughing because, the front of our property is not finished, completed out because we've always had to go through different things. I tell people the mystery of this whole thing is I had more money back then than I have now, and I have way more church members. I said, and I had way more money back then. There was nothing for you to see me walking around with a couple of thousand in my pocket. Just in my pocket. I'm not talking about the church bank account. I'm talking about my personal pocket. And so, I was like, I said, Lord, I said, God, I said, you are an awesome God. Mm-hmm. And see, God was dealing with me. He said, Tamara, you've been through the storms. He said, all this stuff everybody's scared about right now. He said, you don't already been there, done that. He said, you watch me do a lot of things. He said, so you need to tell the people that to be still. And know.
Hallelujah.
You know that I'm gonna do exactly what I said I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
He's I'm not a man that I should lie. Not a son of man that I should repent. It's time to know God for ourselves, especially in this hour. You need to know him for yourself. And it's time to grow. You know, you got sin in your life, confess that sin to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He want to move mountains in your life so that you would be a living example to somebody else about the goodness of the Lord. All right, well, I'm through. You know, I had to give the testimony he wanted me to give, but I just wanted to encourage you to trust God. And God has everything under control. Now, I will put this on the website, you know, so you'll be able to go on there later on and listen to it if you need to go back and get scriptures off of, because the scriptures, it'll be right there on the thing for you to go back and listen if you didn't get to write them down when I was talking. And like I said, if you have a prayer request, you can text your prayer request in to 214-507-3626, and I will be praying. Prophet Julian, is there anything else before I get off there? Okay, so we bless God for you. We love you. And we speak blessings over your life. I'm ending the call.